Lord, that you set the captives free, Lord, that you bring us, Lord, into the liberty of what it means to be a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Lord, I thank you that we can call you the Lion of Judah that roars over us, that fights our battles. Lord, we're many, it's Father's Day today, Lord, but we live in a fatherless generation. Lord, we know we have a Father in heaven who fights our battles, Lord. We thank you that we can declare that this morning, Lord God. We thank you that we can declare highest praises to you, Lord, the Lord of all, that your truth of the gospel is eternal, Lord. Lord, we thank you that your blood defines us, that we can look to you, our Father, this morning on Father's Day, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price, that you redeemed us with your blood so that we can be your sons and your daughters. And I just had a scripture on my heart. When the Israelites were in Egypt and they became very numerous, what happened was Pharaoh gave an order to his people, every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. And then Moses' mother says when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. It was just interesting also when God saved the world through the ark, it was covered in pitch and tar, and his mother, she had faith that God could save this child, and she cast him into the Nile. And another story, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking among the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent a female slave to get it. And she opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. And basically, they took care of the child. And I just felt there might be people here, but you feel you don't know how you're going to take care perhaps of your child, or you think, but looking ahead, you're not able to do that. And even as Moses' mother had to cast the baby into the water and put out faith to trust God to raise this child, just believe that God, we can also put out faith this morning that God has got our children. If you're in that place. So I just want to say a prayer as well. And if that's you, if it stirs faith in your heart, God sees our prayer and he sees our faith. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for every child, Lord, that you've given this congregation. We thank you, Lord, for every mother. Lord, we thank you for every father, Lord. Lord, even where sometimes, Lord, people might also have to raise children alone, Lord, we thank you, Lord, you are our Father, Lord. Lord, you see our kids, Lord. Lord, we want to put out faith this morning, Lord. And ask, Lord, that you would come and bring to pass, Lord, your will for our children's lives, Lord, that the enemy would not come and steal, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have a salvation plan, Lord, for each child, Lord. You have a salvation plan, Lord, that you're the God who redeems, that we can place them in your hands, Lord. Even though, Lord, we're not able, Lord, you are able. You are a perfect Father. We thank you for that, Jesus, that we can place it into your hands this morning, Lord. We thank you that you hear our prayers, Lord, that you see us, Lord, that you hear us, you come down. Even as you did with the Israelites, Lord, you heard their cries, Lord, and you came down, Lord, and you saved, Lord, and your redemption plan came to pass, Lord. We pray for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much to the musos who led us this morning. Really blessed with amazing musicians and worship leaders in our church. I remember I was part of a church plant in Harry Smith with a church in Bloemfontein, and they used to teach on worship. So the guy used to say, sometimes with the musicians, there's a grace flow from, and in some congregations, the flow goes from the congregation to the worship team, and other times it's from the worship team to the congregation. But I think in where we were, it was the other way around. The musos needed the grace. Anyway, okay, so yeah, Ras and Magriet, they're not here this morning. They're celebrating their 13th year, their 13th anniversary this morning. So I think he probably had a bit of breakfast in bed, or Magriet, or maybe both of them. I don't know. But yeah, they send their regards. So I'm standing in for Ross and them this morning. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Theo, and I'm normally with the students on campus. That's in the evenings. Yeah, but it's a wonderful privilege to be here with you on Father's Day. So I look up to all the fathers. I'm not a father yet myself, but we hopefully will get there. So the last while, I've had the privilege to study a bit formally with SATS. It's been the South African Theological Seminary, and it has been quite a challenge since, after university, the self-discipline is lacking and you kind of struggle. But one of the things that I realized when doing this is that when you look at the beginning and the end of a book, you can kind of get the crux of the book by reading the beginning and reading the end. So if you look at the book of Genesis, it starts with a garden. It ends with the grave of Moses. So what is the crux of the book? It's the creation account where God creates a garden, a perfect place where we live, but it ends in a grave. What the effects of sin of mankind that it had on humanity. That's the crux of Genesis. If you look at the book of Exodus, it starts with slavery and oppression. It ends with worship in a tabernacle. So it's a story of God saving his people from slavery to a place of worship. That's the crux of Exodus. This morning, we're going to look at a book, the book of Ephesians. If you read the book of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, it starts with a phrase, grace and peace to you and fellowship with the Spirit. It starts grace to you. It ends with grace with you. That means if you understand, if we understand and grasp the truth of what is written in this letter, we will have access to the grace of God wherever we go. So I'm trusting that we're going to look at Ephesians 1 this morning, and I'm trusting that God will impart grace to us. Even as it says in His Word, we can approach His throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your truth of Your Word, Lord, that Your Word is alive and powerful, Lord, that it's even so still today, Lord, it's eternal, Lord, it's God-breathed, Lord, and we ask that You would come and minister to us through Your Word, Lord. I open my heart, Lord, I open my spirit, Lord, to receive from You this morning, Lord, that Your Word would have the last say and the final say, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word is able to encourage, Lord, to strengthen, Lord, and I pray that You would do it by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name this morning. Amen. I'm just going to read the text to us. Those who have Bibles, Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amazing piece of scripture. There's a lot in there. I'm going to dig in and raise 6 points, or I'm going to try this morning. So if you stick with me, we're going to dig into 6 points. And I believe if we grasp these truths and we continually grow in those truths, we'll be in a place where we have access to grace. We have grace with us. And Paul writes this letter. There are many reasons why some people say it's because of unity between the Gentiles and the Jews. What unites us in Christ, if you read chapter 3 and 4, that's a big thrust of the letters dedicated to the unity we have in Christ. I believe many of the Pauline letters, the letters that he wrote, it was for the Gentiles to fully appreciate who they are in their identity, and to know the work that God had accomplished on our behalf. To fully understand or try to grasp the work God had already accomplished on our behalf. Also to find security in him, to be secure in him. When we realize who we are in Christ, we find our security in him. And thirdly, to live for his glory. Those are 3 things that the one guy highlighted, but I believe that to fully appreciate God's work on our behalf. So this morning, I have good news for us. So often the gospel message or the message people bring to us, it's good advice. People tell us what we have to do. But the gospel message, it's good news. It's something already accomplished that Christ had already done on our behalf. And if we realize the truth of that, if we allow to sink in, then it will transform us and it will give us strength. So the reality is that also, why don't we always receive that? I want to say firstly, there's an enemy who do not want us to live in the truth of what God had accomplished on the cross. And what he does is he twists those truths. And he accuses us and he lies at us. And what also happens is life happens. And life sometimes, it comes and it almost amplifies those lies. We're going to look at that a bit also this morning. But I want to highlight again, we have good news. There's this phrase that appears throughout this text. It was underlined. It's the phrase, in Christ, in him, through him. The security that we have, the grace that we have access to, it's not through us. It's not through the things of this world. It's through one person. He's the way, the truth, and life. It's in Christ. The moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ to save us, it says we are baptized into Christ. We become one with him. And in Christ, we have access to the blessings of God. Okay, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In Jesus Christ, we have access to every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That word in heavenly places, it means the heavenlies, that which is unseen, the unseen realm. So often we think, but I don't think, maybe not this church, but some churches we think, okay, it's for the Porsche and the great job and the beautiful wife and that's what why Jesus saved me and to bless me. It's in heavenly places. It's the unseen things. And Paul elaborates what that means, what those heavenly, those spiritual blessings were. Karin mentioned this morning that we should come and drink that Isaiah 55. We should buy even though we don't have any money. That's the good news. It's in Christ. It's on His account. He settled the account, and we can come and we can receive freely the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. So, the first one, verse 4, is that we are chosen. Now, I want to share a story with you. I don't know who of you, obviously I'm quite tall now, but at school, it was not always like this. In primary school, I was a pokkle. And it was not because I ate a lot of bread. I did that as well, which didn't help my case. But my friends were quite sporty. Yeah, so we used to have these games during break or during whenever you would choose two captains and then each one would choose the next player. Now, and then in the end, one or two guys are left, and then they say, you can have them. It's okay. Now, at times, Pokkel might be end up there in the end, the one who was not chosen. Also, then I had the privilege of being in a boys' school, in high school, but with that also comes the chance of rejection, where you get asked to the girls' school's sister school's dances, which didn't happen too often, because if you like twice the height of your date and your pants doesn't reach your ankles, then it's highly unlikely that you'll get the chance. You had a couple of two lucky draws along the line, but still the reality of rejection. Now what so often in life we see people that are so successful in the terms of this world, but you see broken, you see failures often, and the reason for that is that it's not our successes that define us. Many times in life, it's not our successes that define us, it's our failures. People battle to move past their failures. In counseling, there would be people and they're broken, and you would think, but where did it start? Where did it go wrong? And sometimes just a helpful exercise, you let people kind of draw the curve of their life. What is the highlights and the lowlights? And then they'll have highlights and they'll tell you about these highlights, which is amazing things. But then often it's not the highlights that define them. It's those places where they were at their lowest. Why is that? I want to say we serve a God who redeems. He redeems those things, those blows that life gives us where the lies of the enemy creeps in. Rejection. Some of us might have experienced rejection. I want to go as far as say all of us have experienced rejection in a greater or a lesser extent. Might be that a critical parent might have put you down. It might be because of failure in life. It might be because of a broken relationship. Maybe a business that failed, a job that failed. The thing of failure, disappointment. And this rejection leaves scars. But the truth that could change our lives forever is that we are chosen by heaven. The God of the universe has chosen you. He's handpicked you. Our Father in heaven has chosen you. Let that truth sink in. We have a Father in heaven who has chosen us. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, that we should be perfect in His sight, is what another translation says, another congregation Yeah, another translation says that we should be perfect in His sight. When He looks at us, He doesn't see us when we're in Christ. When we put our faith in Christ, He sees us as He sees His Son. He sees us perfectly. He chose us to see us perfectly. This morning, doesn't matter what the failure is, doesn't matter how the world has rejected you, in Christ, He has chosen you to be perfect in His sight. Heaven has chosen you. God is the God who saves, and He's the God who redeems. He can take us from our failures, and He can take those places to a place of where we can boast in our weakness. A couple of years ago, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but some people in this room will know, I went through a very, I want to say, dark time. And it could so easily be that that thing could define you. We went away, a couple of boys, for a weekend, some of my leaders from campus. All I felt was the Lord share with me, what should I share with these guys? I felt He told me, share your biggest failure. So why should I do that? So we're 12 guys, two of my friends that are older, they could probably catch the evening if I mess it up. So I thought, okay, I'll just go for it. Now, there's a safety net. Shared my biggest failure. Well, one they could relate to. I think I probably had a few that it would have been quite awkward, but I shared one that they could relate to. And you know what happened? It was extremely awkward. And I thought, jeepers, but I've made a mistake now. And that was my, at that moment, I felt also in my identity, I kind of felt, but you know, you might, you could feel like a failure. You could feel, but you know, even though you're disappointed, it becomes an identity. Shared that with a group, and the one guy gets up, and he shares the next thing. I shared with him also how the Lord ministered to me in that time. The next guy shares, head boy of his school, amazing guy. One evening got drunk because after he broke up with his girlfriend, one thing led to another, lost his virginity that night. Biggest failure of his life. So much shame, so much accusation, condemnation, feels terrible. It's the first time he shares that with people. The Lord ministers to him. I thought if that was the only thing that happened that day, it was worth it. So I thought this guy, it must be, it's the first time ever he opens up and he shares that with a group. And the Lord ministers to that guy. And I thought the evening would be only about him. Next thing, another guy starts opening up. And things start happening, and the Lord ministers to people. And I just realized, but that's the way God is. He uses our failures. He can use our failures to redeem. That the very thing which you think the enemy is going to use to destroy, He comes and takes that thing, and He's a God who redeems. You are chosen by heaven. Secondly, you are adopted. Verse 5, in love He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. I have no children, and I haven't adopted any. I know there are people here, and they illustrate beautifully about adoption and our identity as sons because of that. And if you haven't heard that sermon, download it, get hold of it. It's amazing. But the best I could probably relate to it is after I stopped studying and I started working, my mother passed away. My dad moved into a new house. But still, kind of the idea of adoption is I remember rocking up at my new place in Harry Smith and looking down the road like this and realized, but I don't know anyone here, and I have nothing. Like, I think I had a couch, and I still had to buy myself like a microwave, but that was it, real bachelor life. But then going back home to your parents, you open the fridge, you take whatever you want, You go and lie on their couch, which they paid for, watch their DSTV bill on their account, and you enjoy all their blessings at their expense. How amazing is that? That's the same thing with adoption. Without a father, we can live as orphans. We have nothing. We have no one to vouch for us. We feel alone. We feel defeated. We have no means of success in life. But we are adopted. The victories of our father becomes ours. Suddenly you have a household where you can operate, where you can feel secure, where you can feel safe. You can go lie on his couch and experience that safety. There's security there. Suddenly you have a means of success. I haven't been adopted. There's this thing which they speak about quite often now. It's called white privilege. You've probably heard of it before. But because of our parents, they worked very hard for one or two generations. We have privileges. For me, it meant I didn't have any study debt. It's because my dad worked very hard. He had debt. He paid it off. I didn't have to pay study debt. I got a car, which was a blessing at times, but it was a car. I'm joking. It was a great car. But I got a car after I studied. It's because of my dad's hard work. And I had a chance, a shot at this life because of his hard work. And so often we might think, also with adoption, but what if they don't turn out like my other kids? I want to say, without them being adopted, they have no chance. You change a life forever. For us, we have been adopted, not just into any household. The God of the universe is our Father. Everything he has, it becomes part of what we have access to. Every spiritual blessing on his account, we've been adopted by the Father. We have authority. We have an inheritance. And he did it according to the purpose of his will. The NIV says according to his pleasure and will. God took pleasure in adopting us as his children. He took pleasure in adopting you. It was not like you were the last one and he said, oh, okay, I'll have you. He chose you and he adopted you according to his pleasure and will. Thirdly, we are free. We are the only people who are free in this world. Like Karin shared this morning, when I walk around, when you work in your place of work or just read the newspapers, look around, what you see is people who are enslaved. So many people live in slavery. They live in financial slavery. They live in slavery to this world. They might live in slavery in many ways. There's a cycle of that never stops. It's a cycle that says, I will be good enough. If I work harder, then I'll be good enough. If I'm fitter, I'll be good enough. And it's so easy to fall into that trap. If I have the perfect, for the students, if I have the perfect husband or wife, then I'll be good enough. If I can only be first in my class, I'll be good enough. If I have a raise, I'll be good enough. If I can drive that car. The realities of that is that that is never satisfied. There are two things that Jesus came and he set us free from this. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He set us free from our sins. That's the first thing. The things we have done wrong, he forgives our sins. Doesn't matter what it is. That thing, you might think that failure that you have, it's because of your own fault. You brought it upon yourself. Doesn't matter what it is. Our biggest failure, Jesus took upon himself on the cross and he redeemed us. He took that price that thing enslaved us with. He came. He paid that price. It was enough. He said, you are free. Our status changed. From slaves, we became sons. We are set free. Set free from sin, our worst mistakes, the lifestyle that we have lived, we're set free from that. I want to say, so often we feel we don't make the cut. As parents, I know this is a big thing. I spoke to my mother-in-law the other day, and they said, so often you feel, but you haven't done enough. You know, that time you could have spent more time with your kids or during that season, or why did I have to work in that season? Couldn't we have maybe knapie budget bikkie and I could have stayed at home and it would have turned out better? We think that all of those things in your heart and yourself, and it's like this white knuckle grind in life where you feel, but have I done enough? Jesus also says he sets us free from the lifestyle that we couldn't live. He lived the perfect life. And he set us free from that as well. There's freedom in Christ. We are perfect in his sight. And he sets us free from sin. The second thing, he sets us free from the law. The law kills. It can only bring death. And as we try so hard to be good enough, there's a cycle of works. We feel we fail. Accusation comes against us. Look at what you do. Look at what you don't do. And that leads to condemnation. I feel defeated. Jesus came, he set us free. He redeemed us. That is the good news. It's not good advice, it's good news. And he didn't just do it just gave enough. It says he did it according to the riches of his grace. See, God's grace is not just enough. It's more than enough for each one of our sins. And he lavished it on us in all wisdom and insight. Also in South Africa, we don't always understand what it means to be lavished. Call most people to the front today and we give them a lot of gifts and compliments, they would feel ongemakkelijk, awkward. Don't like it when people talk about us. Because you have to feel guilty about receiving things. You know, that's something kind of that we do in our culture. I remember this. We got married, and not only at our wedding, I mean, my father, he gave his best, and my wife's father, Janine's father, he gave his best, and people were helping us, everything. I remember getting into our car that evening, and we started unwrapping our gifts. And then, like, after the third gift, my wife was in tears. And then the next gift comes, 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 and then the next gift comes. And it just comes and comes and comes. And I just realized that day, that is what lavish means. You cannot deserve it, but it comes. There's like this free, this generosity that freely gives. God lavishes us with his love and his grace. And we are set free, we are redeemed. He lavishly pours out his grace upon our lives. And for many of us, I think just as we battle to receive, we sometimes battle to receive the grace of God. We want to live in the freedom that he has. We have to learn to receive from him. We are worthy of his grace, not because of what we have done, because he has chosen us. He has chosen us to pour out his grace upon us. That makes us worthy. The blood of Christ makes us worthy. That determines our value in his sight. Okay, we have three more. We have purpose, verse 9 to 11. No. Many around us who have no purpose, we can't get out of bed. He makes known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as planned for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, with the fullness of time, all things will be united under him. One day he will rule and reign. He will rule and reign over our lives. That is what he's going to do. And he gives us purpose through that. For many, we battle and we might think, but we have a meaningless job. Every day you grind and you don't know what the purpose is. With Christ, the King is coming back. And we have a purpose because we can bring his kingdom on earth as he comes back. He gives us new purpose. Number five is we are heirs. I haven't inherited anything, again, but I can tell you a story. My father-in-law is a reverend, and he stayed in a pastory. Don't know if we've had that revelation as charismatics, but it's a pastory. It's a house they stay in, so he built himself a beach house. That was the only house they had, and it was only when he was like 40 or something, he built that house, and it's in Betty's Bay, which is a massive blessing because now I'm kind of adopted into his family as I'm a son-in-law now. But his father passed away, and his father was a missionary, and he left each of his children, you wouldn't believe it, a piece of property. And they have these rondavels in Sandbaai. So we're not a family with farms, but we do farm with beach houses, which is quite nice. So now we can do Sandbaai or Betty's Bay. But that's a massive blessing. That's part of like the thing of inheritance. The only thing you do with an inheritance, you can do to receive an inheritance is be a son, to accept it. We have an inheritance in Christ, which he pours out upon us. We can't work for it. We just receive it. And lastly, we are sealed. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That word sealed, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, people wore what they called a signet ring. And that ring had a stamp on it. So whenever someone had to pay for something or you knew it was on the owner's account, the sons would wear this ring, which said it's legitimate. The bill is settled by the father, by this guy. They wear this ring, and if you write a letter, they would dip that ring in wax, and they would seal the letter so you know the authority of the owner comes with it. We are sealed. We have that same stamp of God upon our lives. His authority is upon us. And we have his authority. Three things that I wrote down here. Oh, his payment, the payment that has been settled because of that seal. And the third thing that it says is that we have a deposit. So we get saved. Do we get these things? God doesn't just leave it over by chance. He gives us a deposit saying, but the payment will come. The rest will be settled. One day you will have an inheritance, eternal life. You're going to rule and reign with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. How do you know this? I give you a deposit. The rest of the payment is coming, the Holy Spirit. And we receive him. He's inside of us. Assures us of that. Three things. The first, those six, chosen and adopted by the Father. We have good news. We've been chosen and adopted by the Father. We've been set free and given new purpose because of the Son. And thirdly, through the Holy Spirit, we are heirs and we are sealed. Let's stand together and we're going to pray in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence that's here with us. We thank you, Lord, even as we have sung that you rose from the grave, Jesus, that you are alive. Lord, that the Spirit of the risen Christ is in our midst, Lord God. We thank you for your word as we have read, Lord, that we are chosen by you, Lord God, to be adopted, Lord, that you've redeemed us with your blood, Lord, that you've set us free, Lord, according to your pleasure and will, Lord, that you give us a new purpose, Lord, to place everything under your rule and reign in Christ, Lord, that you've called us to be heirs, Lord God, and that you have an inheritance for us, Lord, and that you give us our spirit, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that we can be secure because of the work that you have accomplished on our behalf. Lord, that determines who we are, Lord, that your blood defines us, Lord God, that we have authority because we are your sons and daughters, Lord God. And I just want to bring, Lord, every person in this place before you this morning, Lord God, where the enemy comes, Lord, and rejection can leave scars, Lord God, where rejection and failures, Lord, can bring accusation, Lord, and can determine who we are, Lord. I pray, Lord, as your Spirit is present in this place, Lord, that you would come and minister to those hearts, Lord, as we bring our failures before you, Lord God, as we bring that rejection before you, Lord. We trust, Lord, that you would finish the work that you start, Lord. And, Lord, that we can be secure because of the work that you've done. Jesus, we pray by your Spirit, the Comforter, that you would come and heal, that you would come and set free. Lord, that you would come and define us, Lord, and not our failures. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that in you we have forgiveness, Lord, through your blood, forgiveness of sin, Lord, and freedom from the law, Jesus. I pray, Lord, for those this morning who's been enslaved by the law, Lord, where there's so much accusation and condemnation going their way. Jesus, we thank you that your blood silences the voice of the accuser. Lord, that this morning that we can trust in you, that your blood speaks a better word, Lord Jesus, and that you can set us free, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for new purpose, Lord God, for those battling with questions of purpose, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would come and reveal by your Spirit, Lord, your purpose, that you would open eyes to see, Lord, and even the battles that people are facing, Lord, that they if they fall discouraged, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have purpose, Lord, in our battles that we face, Lord God, that there's a reward in heaven, Lord, and that we know we can look to you, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, I want to bring, I just give the opportunity, if there is people here this morning who they hear all of these things, but they realize, but what does it mean? I haven't experienced any of it. The Bible says these blessings are for those who are in Christ, and there's one way that we can come and receive it. Firstly, it's by faith to say, Jesus, I realize the price that you paid on the cross, the death that you died, and the life that you lived, it was for me. And it was for my failures, it was for my mistakes, it was for my life. Then choose to accept that lavish love and grace that he has for your life. And through that, by choosing faith in him, we repent of our sins and we turn away from the things that hinder us to walk in that relationship that we can have with him. So if there's anyone like that today in this place, you know, they want to make their life right with Jesus, they want to give their life to him, they want to claim that free gift that is given to them, and they want to turn away from the life of dead works, if there's anyone like that, if you can just, as a means of responding by faith, raise your hand. I would love to pray with you. And then secondly, I would, if there's anyone who wants prayer, who is in a place where they feel that they're at a place of being defeated, and that failure defines them, Phil, I would also love to pray with you, if we can do that perhaps afterwards. But what we're going to close in prayer. And what I want to do is just, if any of these things have ministered to you this morning, is just to pray and pray for the person next to you with regard to that, and minister to one another, encourage one another. I specifically also just felt it's Father's Day today. That the thing of so often you hear this, but it's battle to receive it because perhaps you had a critical father. You had a father who instead of building you up, put you down, or an absent father who do not know perhaps what it is to have a good father. And this morning there's also good news because God wants to reveal Himself as the Father God. God who fights our battles, who gives us blessings at His expense, on His behalf. He gives us an inheritance more than just physical things. He gives us a legacy where we can walk in that which He had accomplished. Jesus, we thank You and we honor You for Your finished work. Lord, that we can come and receive, Lord, Your blessings on Your behalf, Lord, on your expense, Lord God. In Jesus' name, if you can turn to one another and just pray prayers of encouragement over one another. So we're going to close.